Thank you, Church. Thank you, Reino. Thank you, Loki, for that double introduction. I'm used to getting things doubled because I'm a twin. So whenever my brother gets something, I also get something. We used to share everything, underpants included. And you don't want to know that, so tell Kenny the next time you see him. Oh, yuck. You and your brother shared underpants. Oh, man. Suck. No, it's nice to be here. I'm Amo Okinedi. Please, just the pronunciation, Amo. Not Amu. I'm not a cow. Some people, one of my friends used to call me Amu the cow when I was in high school. So it's bad memories. Don't do that. But God has given that guy soul, and he's a Christian now. My wife is not here at the moment. She's looking after our little baby, 7 months old. 7 months. If she would walk, then she would be probably... But she's not walking at the moment. I had a dream when she was only 7 weeks old. I had a dream. And in my dream, I looked at her and she was asking me, Amo, wat maak jy? In my dream. And I'm like, wow, this kid is clever. She's speaking at 7 weeks. And I thought, wow, man, this is definitely my kid. But I was so, it was so convincing that in my dream I believed that of my little baby. It's little Iva, I-V-A, Iva Ivanovich, almost like a Russian name. We're going to the nations, we as a family, and we're excited about that. So I'm a dad, and yes, God has done a lot in my life through just giving me a little child. He taught me how to sleep only 5 hours every night, especially now with teething time. Most of you don't know about teething. Who of you know about teething? Little kids getting teeth. Hey, Glengi. You know, it's hectic. It's really hectic. She wakes up in the evening and she's so excited to get teeth and she wants to show them off, and then she screams, open her mouth, and she wants us to come and help her. And then after 15 minutes she goes back to sleep again, and then after 15 minutes she wants us to know again that she has teeth now. And then she screams, and then we wake up, and then Cornell and I scream at each other, and then Cornell usually go and do the work. No, sometimes I also do that way. So it's exciting for me to be here. I just want to bless Reina and Leona. When I walked in this afternoon, for me it was such an excitement again. I was here this morning to come into the presence of God. This whole place speaks about the presence of God being here. And even in the worship now, I could feel that I was almost feeling, yes, sir, we must call all the people. We must get people on the roof and shout it out that there's church happening here. Because God's presence is here in this place. And how exciting is it to know that we don't have to do anything to come into God's presence. Because God lives in us. He lives here with us. Where two or more are gathered together, there Jesus is. There God is in His fullness. And that's exciting. So I'm going to pray also. We love praying in this church. I'm going to ask God to bless my English. Thanks, Loki. Thank you, Lord, that you are here in this place, Lord. And we open up our hearts so that you can share with us. Thank you that you're a dad and that you're a family man. In the name of Jesus. Amen. There are a few topics that evoke delight in some people and at the same time, pain in other people. A few topics. One of them, and probably at the top of this list, is family. Family. Let's do a little practical exercise. It's going to be a little bit of a heavy introduction. Just hang with me. We're going to get to the good part at the end. I'm going to say a few things, family-related things. And just in your heart, just check what emotion pops up. And then you'll understand that family is an interesting topic because it brings up very much and very mixed emotions. Think your relationship with your dad. your relationship with your mom, your granddad on his deathbed, Sunday lunch, Christmas time, family holiday, your brother's or sister's greater sporting ability or better intellectual prowess. Some of you, just hearing those words, your relationship with your dad, relationship with your mom, some of you experienced a bad emotion. Some of you experienced a very good and blessed emotion. Why is it that something like family will bring up so many mixed emotions? Why is it? What's happening here? Obviously, there's something happening here. And the answer is very, very, very easy and very, very simple. It's because God, with all His might, loves family. He loves family. But you know what? On the other side, it's also true that the devil and Satan, with all his might, he hates family. He hates it. He hates it. So why does God love family? And that's also actually a stupid question, because we all know it. He's a dad. He's a father. God's a dad, a father. All of you know that. God's a dad. He's a father. But more importantly, when He chose to reveal Himself to the world, when He made a decision to come and save us, to come and reconcile us with who He is as a God, we all know what happened in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve, when they sinned, there, because of that, we were separated from God. We as human beings enter the world as sinful human beings, and therefore we can't relate to a God as human beings. Only through Jesus we can obviously now relate with God. But to restore that relationship with human beings, God chose to be a family man. He chose to send His Son, which is a family term, and He sent His Son so that we can be reconciled with Him as a dad. God is a dad. He's a father. He's a family man. The way that He wants to reveal Himself to us, the way that He chose to reveal Himself to us, is in family terms. So God loves family because He is a dad. Galatians 4 verse 4 to 7. Just bring across this point so beautifully. When the right time came, God sent His Son, family term, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, "Abba, Father." Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. Exciting. Exciting, exciting, exciting. God sent Jesus to this world so that we could be adopted into His family. God's a father. He's the head of our home. He's the head of the church. He's the head of this family. We here together are family because we have the same dad. And that's why God loves family, because He's a dad. And just in this verse, it says that God's the Son's Spirit in us calls out, "Abba, Father." Abba is a very, very intimate word for father. It's like papa in Afrikaans or daddy in English. It's intimate. God wants to restore that intimate relationship with us as a dad. I remember, I think 2 years ago, we just got married, and I was seeking God's face, and I felt God telling me, "Amo, why do you call me father? You call your dad papa, but you call me father. Why do you do that?" I said, "No, because you're a father." I don't know what I said. Can't remember. But then He said, "Amo, why don't you want to use the intimate term of papa for me? I also want to be as close as your dad is to you. I want to be that close to you. So start using the term papa." And obviously, when I pray father, and sometimes I pray papa. For me, it wasn't a law now that God told me I must only call Him papa. or dad, but something, I grasped something of God's heart, that He's a dad and He wants to meet with me as His son. And He doesn't want anybody to have a more intimate relationship with me than Himself. He wanted to be in that place. So why does God love family? He's a dad. And He's going to reveal His heart tonight. I'm sure of that. I'm very excited for that. Second reason why God loves His family is because it is His vehicle of choice for His blessing. Now, if we go back to the beginning, there in Genesis, who of you read the old Bible? Some of you only read the Psalms and Proverbs and New Testament. Who of you read the New Bible? You know about Genesis, the beginning. Yes, I'm glad you're reading your Bible. Come to Bible school. Do we have Bible school? Yes, we have Bible school. Then we can learn about the whole Bible. Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3. It speaks about God just made a covenant with Abram, and then He speaks the following words over Abram. He says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and when they dishonor you, I will curse. And in you all the families shall be blessed. Now it's exciting. Abram just gets this massive blessing. God says, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And if somebody comes against you and curse you, I'll curse them. If they bless you, I'll bless them. And God says through Abram, I want to bless every family of this world, every family that lives on this planet. I want to bless them through Abram. What is so excited? Why am I so excited about the scripture? It's because this is also a blessing and what God wants to give to us. He chose Abram as the patriarch. Abram was obedient to God and God blessed him. But God not only blessed him as a person, He also blessed every generation coming after him. You will see that Abram then got Isaac. Isaac then got Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God and he said he's not going to leave God until God blesses him. And then God blesses Jacob as well. And then God said, your name is not going to be Jacob anymore because you've wrestled with me. I'm calling you Israel, which means they believe, meaning just a form of wrestling. So God, through Abram, the blessing came to Abram, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Israel. So God's speaking to the nation of Israel here also. And now in the New Testament, that's so exciting that we can be part of God's people as God's Israel. God's not limiting him to a specific family, to a specific country or a specific nation. He says, we as Christians adopted into his family now can partake in that blessing. And that's amazing. God chose a family, Abram's family, to bring in that blessing. But now he wants to take it further through his church. Ephesians 2, read a few scriptures there. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. How exciting. God says that blessing that I've given Abram now belongs to the church because we are adopted into his family. The church is his family. But also the building stones of the church is the family unit where we have a mom and a dad, we have parents, and we have siblings. That is the family unit. And the blessing of Abram still applies to that family unit, but it's even bigger than that because God's not only limiting him. God's not limiting himself to a family. He's saying, I want my blessing to go into all the families of the earth. I want to take the church, the family, the household of God, and I want them to be the blessing to all the families of the earth. So why does God love family? Because it's his vehicle of blessing to the whole world. This church, this household, your family, Your relationship, James, is a blessing. Renata, your future relationship, where's Renata? It's a blessing to this world. God loves family. He loves it when brothers and sisters come together. Which is that, I preached this morning here, and then I went through to Betty's Bay. It's my grandma's 80th birthday. And it was quite exciting. We had all the family there. Nice steak. Because we're Afrikaans, we love to eat meat, apparently. And it was just so nice having the whole family there. And then, obviously, when somebody had to do a speech, and my mom did a little gediggie poem for my grandma, and we all started crying, because it's so intimate, the whole thing of blessing my grandma that we love. And then I could tell my grandma, "Ma, I so appreciate you always telling me that. I'm praying for you, Amo. I'm praying for you, Amo. I'm praying for you." And I had my granddad's name also, so I was a little bit voorgetrek, wit broodjie. What do you call it? I don't know what you call it in English. And it was so exciting to be part of that family. You could feel God's presence at that table, there in the middle. And God loves family. And I'm going to tell you more about my family a little bit later. So why does Satan then hate family? Also a simple answer. It represents who God is. God chose to reveal himself as a family man, sending his son. So if Satan can break up the family, he has come a long way in distorting our image of God. Satan wants to distort the image of God. If you just think, if you're going through a hard time, what's the thought that constantly comes up in your mind? The one thought, if you're a Christian, it's, can I trust God? Will God come through for me? Oh, yeah. Will God come through for me? And by giving us that hard time, by giving us broken relationships in our family, Satan wants to distort our image of God. Because if he can get us to a place where we don't trust God, he knows that he has taken the power of our relationship with God away, because now we can't trust God anymore. So if Satan can break up the family, he has come a long way in distorting our image of God. I work with students, and I can tell you almost all the problems that I encounter with students are family-related problems. A guy will come to me and he says, "Amo, I struggle to trust God." Then I just ask a few questions, and most of the time it will end up like something like, "Hey, Amo, I could never trust my dad. My dad never affirmed me. My dad was so wishy-washy. The one day he will say he loves me, the next day he's so angry, or he's always drunk, or whatever. I could never trust my dad." So couldn't trust God. He says, "Amo, I can't trust or love people." I asked one of the staff members who went through a divorce, her parents went through a divorce. I just asked her, what do you think Satan wanted to do with this divorce in your parents? And she told me, she said, "Satan stole my confidence. I couldn't trust people. I couldn't speak to people because I just felt I was so, so sore because of this divorce. Because the place of security that I had with my family was just taken away. Satan just took it away. And he took my confidence away with that." So Satan hates family because it represents who God is. Anxiety attacks. A few weeks earlier, I had somebody coming to me with anxiety attacks, constant anxiety attacks. And matter of fact, he comes to me like every 2 weeks, and he tells me about this anxiety attacks that he's getting all the time. And then usually we can just relate it to his dad not affirming him, or to his parents being divorced. Sad, sad story. And And we spoke to the demon, we drove out the demon, we did everything, but still the emotional hurt that's in that person is just so deeply rooted that he's still struggling with that. Yes, there's obviously, through God's grace, he has moved on now. He doesn't get the anxiety attacks that he must go to the doctor anymore. He just get them from time to time, and then he will SMS me, he will come and speak to me, and we pray about it, and it's fine for a few days. I trust God for the complete deliverance, complete healing in the next few weeks. And that's exciting. But it just shows you the power and the devastation that Satan brings in families. Homosexuality, we can do the same. Lust, all these things, most of these things have a root, problems have a root in the family relationships where Satan came to destroy and steal of what a family was supposed to be. I'm going to throw up a few statistics there. That's the divorce rate, 2002. Of every marriage that happened, all the marriages that happened in 2002, 54.9% people divorced in Sweden. In America, 54.8. Okay, so this statistics. Almost there. My English divorced me there for a moment. Is based on all the marriages, so it counts for second and third marriages. The first marriages, I think in the United States, I read it's about 42%. So that means half of the people getting married, or that got married in 2002. They will get divorced, half of them. So what's Satan being doing? He's having a jolly of a time because he's destroying the family and he's distorting the image of a loving God that wants to change and transform our nation. And it's not different for Christians, I can tell you. I did a little bit of research and the Bono group, some of you might know the Bono group, they said almost the same, even worse in some places, some states in America. So what is God doing? What is Satan doing in this country? We have to fight for our family. I know Reino preached on that last week. We have to fight for our families. And I know some of you are not parents or you don't have children, but we can still fight for our families by standing up as a strong man, by saying, God, you will now be the God of this home. Even though I'm not the father, I'm not the oldest, I'm not the mother, you will not let the evil one come and destroy our family. And we will be a blessing. And you can claim that Abrahamic blessing for yourself as a family, because that's what God intended it to be. Every family can be a blessing. Just two of my friends got married earlier last year, at the end of last year. And they come from both of them come from divorced homes. And if you look at the family tree on both sides, it's just devastation. It's just divorce on divorce on divorce on both sides. And when they got married, they felt like everything came against them. His dad became irrational. Their mom became irrational. They had all these expectations of the wedding that was just so irrational. And they really felt just it's a spiritual attack from Satan. Don't want them to get married because they are Christians, they love God, they're spirit-filled, and they're going to be the game breakers in that family, the pioneers in that family that will bring back the blessing. And they just felt that all Satan's power coming on them before their marriage. It's because Satan hates just marriages. He hates godly marriages. He hates family. Satan hates my family too. And I'm going to tell you about my family a little bit. It's very exciting for me, but it's also a very intimate part of who I am. This morning when I shared it, I cried my heart out when I had to speech at my grandma's 80th birthday, also cried. It's just because I'm so overwhelmed by God's blessing and God's legacy that came through my family. I don't know why I got this very, very special family. I don't know why some other people are born into a very, very bad situation. I don't know. But what I know is that God has given me the privilege to be part of a family that's really been a blessing over many generations. So I'm just going to tell you, I wrote something down here so that I don't have to speak to you, else I'm just going to cry. Just listen to it and don't see it as something that I want to depict my family as the perfect family, because we're not. But we are definitely a blessing. And God told us that many times, and we're excited to be a blessing. In 1931, a baby was born in northern Nigeria, and his missionary parents called him Gerardefos. A few days later, a blind man came into their house and picked a little boy up and said, Amo, meaning the voice of the father in his native language, Tief, and he blessed him. A few years later, another boy, 14 years old, sits on the beach in Strand, South Africa. He is surrounded with a few other young people, has just made the most important decision of his life. John Nicholas Francis O'Kennedy, better known as Kenny, has just surrendered his life to Jesus. On the 4th of June 1984, I was born in Stellenbosch as Gerardefos O'Kennedy, and I was not alone. I had a buddy with me. We shared a confined space for more or less 9 months. Yes, we didn't share the underpants back then. We didn't have underpants. Yeah, he was and he's still my twin brother, John Nicholas Francis O'Kennedy, or better known as Kenny. The boy receiving the blessing from the blind man and the boy surrendering his life to Jesus on the beach are my grandfathers. Now, what happened there is that both my granddads, they received a blessing from God. My granddad, Amo, that was born in Nigeria, he was blessed by the blind man with that armor. That was his blessing, the blind man's blessing. And he received Jesus later in his life. And then my other granddad, Kenny, also received Jesus in his life. And you can just see the blessing that came down from that decision into our lives, into our family's lives. On my dad's side, there are 5 brothers. All of them are in the ministry at the moment. All of them serve the Lord with everything they have. I know that because I know them. On my mother's side, the same thing happened. All of them are Christians. All of them still married. 9 couples altogether, still married. In these days, it's a blessing. If I look at my family, it's so overwhelming to know that God has blessed us so much. My parents, at the moment, my mother's dream is to go into Africa and help establish a mission station. My dad, however, feels that God is still keeping them in the country. He's in deliverance ministry and he is known as the Ghostbuster amongst his friends. He's a Dutch Reformed minister, by the way, so you will know how radical he is. He's in the deliverance ministry. A man with a demon once tried to run and tackle him. Before the man could reach him, he hit a wall, the angel. The man fell backward. Just to show you a little bit of the blessing that I come from. It's amazing. He's a very, very wise man. My sister last year, she worked in a school and refused on the end. Really, really poor community. And she said the first thing that she had to learn was that when somebody stands up in the class and says, teacher, your mask appear, that it's not personal. They don't say, hey, teacher, I don't agree with you. They just say, teacher, your mask appear. Obviously, we don't have a reference for that. But then she started a small group, and a few girls got saved, and they cried when she had to leave last year, when she went to Belleville at her for a different post. Radical, radical sister. She's now serving in Shofar Tigerberg, also as a small group leader. And I don't know if she's still a small group leader, but she was a small group leader. My brother the other day, my 20-year-old brother, younger brother, the small one in the family, phoned me and he said, Amo, God told me I must get baptized. And he cried as he called me.
And he asked me if I could be there. But I couldn't be there because I was already on my way to Rawsonville, where my parents live. And I just felt so overwhelmed because there's my little brother. Just being obedient to what God has told him. And we had it so easy. My dad loves the Lord. My dad gave us so much love. My mom constantly tells us how much he loves us. He goes out of a way to serve us, to bless us. You know what? Because it started there with my granddad. The one granddad giving his life to the Lord on the beach. The other one receiving that blessing and later on giving his life to the Lord. God has a generational blessing that he wants to give to every family. And it starts with one person making the decision to follow Jesus and surrendering everything that you have to God. That's what family can be like. And obviously, we're not perfect. I remember when I was younger, I thought, yes, come on, give me another dad, give me another mom. They're so old school. But now when I'm older, I just see the wisdom. I just see the love. I just see God's hand on us all the way. And God dealt with us in very, very hectic terms. My dad was challenged before the synod. Some people wrote a letter to the synod of the Dutch Reformed Church and said they must excommunicate him because of what he's doing in his ministry. Bad, bad lies. Some of his best friends in ministry turning against him. But I remember my dad just staying to the promise that God has given him. We as a family coming together. And it was in that time also that God called me for the full-time ministry. And it was so exciting to know that God's busy with our family. And God has such a purpose for our family. And God has a purpose for your family. God has a purpose for everyone's family. Every one of you sitting here represents a family. Parents, and people that will come after you. So how do we get to that place where we receive the Abrahamic blessing, where we receive the blessing that God destined for families to have? How do we get there? And I've already mentioned it. It's by wisdom. I felt that's what God told me about my family. Wisdom. In these days, We admire people with courage. We admire people with entrepreneurship, people making lots of money, people being a pioneer in the business world, getting into a great startup and making lots of money. That's the things that we desire, that we long for, the virtues that we look up to. But God says wisdom. If you read the Bible, the Bible's full of sayings that says we must look for wisdom. Luke 7:13, it says, wisdom is justified by children. Meaning, if you apply wisdom to your life, then you will bear the fruit. And even in your future generations. I can see my dad applied wisdom in his life because I can see the fruit in my life. I can see my granddad applied wisdom in his life because I can see the fruit in my dad and my mom's life. Wisdom. But what is wisdom? And how should we deal with wisdom? Proverbs 3 verse 13 to 18 says, you are blessed when you meet Lady Wisdom. It's the Message translation. When you make friends with Madame Insight, she is worth far more than money in the bank. Her friendship is better than a big salary. Her value exceeds all the trappings of wealth. Nothing you could wish for holds a candle to her. With one hand, she gives long life. With the other, she confers recognition. Her manner is beautiful. Her life is wonderfully complete. She is the very tree of life. To those who embrace her, hold her tight and be blessed. Wisdom is the tree of life. What is wisdom? We know now what wisdom will give us. It's the tree of life. It will bless us if we hold it tight. What is wisdom? and what I learned from my family and just God revealing them to me. And the Bible speaks about it, is that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's so many Psalms, so many Proverbs about this thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? Because it's now contradictory, yes, somewhere along the line. I'm talking about a dad, I'm talking about love, I'm talking about God accepting us just as we are, and now I say that we must fear the Lord. What does that mean? What does fear the Lord mean? And for myself, I just explain it to myself this way. Sometimes we talk to ourselves. Do you also do that from time to time? It's when you love the things God loves, but also hate the things God hates. The fear of the Lord. That awesome respect for who God is, who He is in His character, that you want to become so intimate with God that you want to love the things He loves and hate the things He hates. The fear of the Lord. That's my explanation. Now, what did I learn from my family? The first thing was, God loves the Word of God. He loves the Bible. Everything that we do, we must measure it against the Word of God. How do you do that? First, you must understand the Bible before you can do that. You must come to Bible school so that you can measure everything that you do against the Word of God. And some people say, no, the Word of God is so difficult to understand. But if you think of the technology that we use these days, it's much more difficult than understanding the Word of God, because we even have the Holy Spirit to help us with that. So make an effort to know the Word of God, because without the Word of God, you will not have discernment to know what is the wise thing to do and which way you need to follow. Wisdom, it starts with knowing the Word, understanding the Word, creating a love for the Word in your family, in your friends' relationship. Talk about it. When we go back to our family home, we discuss the Word, or more, argue about the Word. Hey, Dad, I don't understand that scripture. Come on, tell me. What does that scripture mean? Well, Dad, what does that thing mean? And then we start talking about it. And from time to time, we just say, yes, it's so awesome. I got this revelation. Or we've seen each other scriptures. And that's a love for the Word. And even now with my little 7-month-old baby, my wife decided that she's so clever and we must start reading her from a little Bible. So the last I read from the story of Israel wrestling with God. And just in the end, Jacob didn't want to leave God until he received the blessing. And that's also, it paints a picture of prayer. We need to wrestle with God so that God will bless us. The next point, prayer. God loves communication. He's a dad. He's a relational being. If you read the whole, some of you must just read the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation to get the whole picture of how God's dealing with His people. In the Old Testament, God had such a desire to live with His people. Do you know that? He told Moses to build him. Moses. I don't know who he told. Huh? He told Moses. Yeah, it's Moses. He told Moses. For a moment there, I lost it. Thanks, Raina. He told Moses, I want to live with the people. I want to live in their midst. So build me a tabernacle. Build me a place where I can be in the middle of what everything that's happening with my family. God desires to meet with us. Now, in the New Testament, we see that Jesus comes. And Jesus, His other name is Emmanuel, God with us. God desires to be with us. And how do we communicate with God? Through prayer. Through communication. Some of us must just sit and, like that one Jesus Culture song says, I don't want to speak to you like you're not in the room. Some of us must sit on one chair. We must open another chair and say, okay, God, you now come and sit here with me. I want to speak to you. I'm going to speak to you like I speak to a normal one of my friends. And start conversing with God. Because that's what God wants. And that's how you're going to start understanding what God loves and what He hates. Communication, prayer, the second thing. Third thing, a love for people. Wisdom. God loves people. We all know that. God loves us. But He loves everybody around us. So, I remember my meeting somebody at a wedding, and he told me, hey, what's your name? He said, oh, hey, how are you? So-and-so grandchild. My dad's granddad's grandchild. And he was a headmaster, my granddad at the time, and this guy was working for him. He was a teacher there. And he said, my granddad taught him this very valuable lesson about loving people. He said he once went to him and he wanted to get a girl expelled because this girl was just creating chaos in his class. And then my granddad just told him one thing. He said, if you are willing to walk a road with this person after she's expelled, I'm willing to expel her. And he didn't do it. Because what he learned from that, the teacher, he said, is that my granddad was more interested in the person than he was interested in doing the right thing. It's more about people. It's about people. God loves people. He loves the whole of Cape Town. I just wish the whole of Cape Town could be here in the presence of God this evening. The fourth thing is, God loves His church. He loves it, He loves it, He loves. He loves this. This that you see here, with the two PowerPoint, the band that's not standing here anymore, the seats. He loves this. He loves it. Because He knows when people come together on a Sunday or whenever they come together, they meet with each other and they meet with God and He can dwell with Him. God's like a father that always wants to know, hey, what's happening with my children? Where are they at? God wants to be with us. And that's why He loves church. And also because He knows His church. He chose His church to be the vehicle of blessing to all the families in the world. My family love the church. It's almost bad. They just love being in the church. They love doing church. They love going to small group. They love serving the church. They love just being with church people also. Because God loves His bride. That's why He calls it His bride. He has a love relationship with the church. Not only the universal church, but also the local manifestation, like Shofar Ronnebos. He loves this church. And if we want to create a fear of the Lord in ourselves, we must start loving the local manifestation of the church. You know why it's so important? Because you can say, no, you're in love with Jesus. But it's easy to be in love with Jesus because Jesus is perfect. He will never wrong you in any way. But you know what? These two people sitting there at the back, Raina and Leona, the pastors of this church, they're imperfect. So you know what? This church will not be perfect. The people in the church aren't perfect. The people are sometimes, they will even offend you. There's some bad people in this church. Sinful people in this church. But God loves them. And obviously through grace we get transformed and renewed into the image of Christ. God loves the church. But we need to commit to a family, a local family. Somebody just said, Jack Deere, I don't know if you know him. He said something that's still with me. He said, he doesn't trust anybody, any Christian, that's not committed to a local church. Now, that's very profound. If you are in the ministry or you have been in some way connected to the ministry, you will know that this is so important. Like you get so many flaky people out there that say they're with Jesus and they give you this prophecy and then they go on to do this miracle and they do this and do this, but they're not committed and not serving at their local church. I don't trust them because they're not willing to commit to fallible, imperfect people. And we have to do that. That's what Jesus did. So how do we receive the blessing from God? We apply wisdom. We apply wisdom to our lives. We start fearing God. We start loving the things God loves and hating the things God hates. And God loves family. God's excited about family. He's excited about this church. Okay, we're gonna pray now for a few people. Some of you, while I was preaching, you experienced hurt, bitterness, or you've even felt God showing you something in your heart towards a parent or towards a sibling, or you have never experienced the blessing that I talked about that I received in my family, and you want to receive that blessing. We want to pray for you. Those people who feel that they can't trust God because they could never trust their dad, or there was so much sibling rivalry that they still have a confidence problem. You know what? God wants to bless you. He wants to take away everything that the devil has, everywhere where the devil has destroyed stuff. He wants to come and bless that. So I'm going to, while we close our eyes, I want to ask those of you that need prayer in those areas, just to raise your hands. Just commit to that. Those of you who need prayer for your family, those of you who need to receive this blessing of family, that really just desire for God to come and to heal you emotionally and spiritually. Can you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Okay, we can open up our eyes again. Okay, I want all those people to come forward, and while Esty just plays some background music, we're going to minister for that, for these people. But before that, I want to pray a blessing over this congregation, over everybody sitting here. Okay, so if you can just open your hands, open your hearts. God, thank you that we can be part of your family, Lord. You have adopted us, Lord. And even now when people are still struggling with their identity, they feel they can't come close to you because they're so sinful, Lord. Thank you that you bind, you cancel those lies from the devil, and you say to those people that you are adopted into your family, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can be part of a big family, Lord, the universal church, Lord. Even though our dads failed us, Lord, even though our parents failed us, Lord, thank you that you are a perfect God and you have adopted us into your family that wants to be a blessing to the nations, Lord. Lord, and every individual sitting here, Lord, every family that's being represented here, Lord, and the families that will come from this place, Lord, I ask now, Lord, that you'll come with your Holy Spirit and you'll bless every individual, Lord, and that they will receive it, Lord, and they will start a generational blessing, Lord. You say that you will bless us unto thousands, into a thousand generation, Lord. We want to receive those blessings even from our great ancestors, Lord. We want to receive those blessings, Lord. We want to receive the Abrahamic blessing, Lord, because we know we need that. We need that, Lord. We need that affirmation from a dad, from a father. We need that in order for us to be whole, Lord. For us to go to a broken world and to tell a broken world, you know what, I have the answer for you, and that's Jesus. Lord, we need that blessing so that we can be a blessing to all the families of this planet, Lord. Lord, I ask you send now these people sitting in front of me, Lord, into their different spheres of influence, Lord, and you send them in with a blessing, Lord. And as they walk in, Lord, the presence of God will be so tangible, Lord, that people will start weeping, that people will start experiencing the love of a dad that they've never experienced, the love of God. Thank you, Lord, that they were walking with authority, Lord. Thank you that they were walking with confidence. Thank you, Lord, that you've already done the work on the cross. We don't have to do anything. We are walking with your presence. Because you have come and tabernacle with us. And that's amazing. That's amazing, Jesus. Amen. Okay, we want to pray for those people. Put up their hands. Anyone else that needs prayer, please come forward. Thank you.